I've only been summoned to jury duty twice in my life. The first time, I wasn't even 18 yet, interestingly. And the second time, I was in Maryland, still in the seminary. So both were pretty easy dismissals. I'd be open to it now, though I'm guessing at this point I would never get selected based on who I am. I'm sure that many of you have served and for a short period of time filled that important role of determining someone's future. But you didn't just decide arbitrarily. To the best of your ability, you decided based on what they did. Now, I've never been before a jury either, praise God, or a judge, for that matter. But if that happens, I hope that I would also be judged based on what I did. And I shouldn't say if, but when. Because I will be judged, if nothing else, then at the end of my life. But whose decision will it be? Well, believe it or not, it was the fifth graders at our school who really helped me think about who gets to decide what happens after we die. It started with my simple statement to them that there are two possibilities at the end of our life. Either I will be with God forever, which we call heaven, or I will be away from God forever, which we call hell. And so one young girl asked the question, "So, Father, do we get to pick which one of those we go to?" And I said, "Yes, yes, it's your choice." But then one of the young boys said, "But Father, I thought that after we die, God or St. Peter or someone will be our judge and tell us where to go." And I said, "Yes, that's also correct. So how can it be both? Am I deciding where I go, or is God deciding where I go?" And so we used the analogy of a courtroom where a judge or a jury decides. But their decision is based on what the person did. Now, in hindsight, I could have just said, "Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Because in our gospel today, first, Jesus says that all the nations will be assembled before him. So this is not just the bad, this is everyone. And then he will judge those on his right, inherit the kingdom. But that judgment is not because they won the lottery or paid off the judge, or it's because they fed the hungry, welcomed the stranger, cared for the ill, and in general, loved the least of his brothers and sisters. And then God will judge those on his left. Depart from me. But it won't be because he didn't like them. It's because they didn't give drink to the thirsty, or clothing to the naked, or any care to the least ones. So it's true that God will decide, inherit the kingdom, depart from me. But his decision will be based on our actions. So the best follow-up question from our fifth graders was, "Well, Father, then who's going to be my lawyer?" I said, "Well, it's not a perfect analogy, because this judge neither needs to be shown what you did, nor convinced that it was right or wrong. He knows. And make no mistake, this judge wants you to win. St. John Chrysostom, one of the most eloquent doctors of the church, he lived in the 300s, he makes a great point. Did you notice in the gospel this morning that to those who are blessed, Jesus says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. But he doesn't say to the accursed, depart into the eternal fire prepared for you, because it wasn't prepared for you. That's not where he wants you to go. That's why it says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. God wants you to inherit the kingdom, and that's why he will give you every possible chance to do it. There's no limit on how many confessions you can make. There's no limit on how many days you can receive communion. There's no limit on how many times you can forgive your neighbor or be forgiven by your neighbor. Every possible chance. But once your life is over, your chances are over too. And if you're with him forever or away from him forever, the decision will be God's, but it will be yours also.